Have a great week, guys, and be safe.
Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor. I'm Dinah Jansen, and today I'm joined by CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative producer, Jesse Bell. Our first story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter, Christina Lowry, covering the 50th anniversary of Queen's University's Banbury Centre.
Hello, I'm Christina Lowry, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories in Kingston and the Islands. You can listen to CFRC's news programs Today in YGK and Kingston Currents on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Music. If you have any Kingston news tips you'd like to share, you can reach me at news@cfrc.ca. As of this month, the Banbury Centre on Queen's campus has been providing resources for women students for 50 years. The Banbury Centre opened in October of 1974. Founded by women graduates of Queen's with the vision of creating a space to provide support for mature women students. Since its inception, it has continued to foster a community among women from all faculties and from all stages of life. This includes providing student advising, advocacy on behalf of students, and a plethora of events throughout the year. The center celebrated this milestone year with a gala at the Isabel Bader Center at the end of last week, also unveiling the results of the Who Is She fundraising campaign. This campaign began last fall, asking donors to make contributions in honor of an important woman in their lives. The women who inspired these donations were recognized in an art installation revealed at the gala, which will soon reside in the Banbury Centre for all visitors to see. Susan Bellier, director of the Banbury Centre, sat down with CFRC at the centre to reflect after the gala.
Celebrating 50 years, to start us off before we get into the celebration itself, how are you feeling about hitting 50 years and all that Banbury Centre has provided for the Queen's community over the years?
Yeah, we have spent so much of this past year preparing for this moment, which was the grand gala to celebrate 50 years. But really, we've been celebrating all year long. We had, we had our Who Is She campaign. We got in touch with a whole lot of alumni to find out what they're doing now, and we have a little slideshow of that. We had at our spring awards celebration Diane McKenzie, an alumna of Queen's and a big supporter of the Banbury Foundation, told the history of how the center got started. We had a tree planted and a plaque dedicated to the founders. So we've been working on the 50th all year, and it culminated last night, October 24th, in our grand gala event at the Isabel Bader Center. Yeah, and that was amazing. Yeah, sure. So it was in the atrium, in the lobby of the Isabel. So the beautiful open space. There were about 180 people in attendance. We had Chantel Thompson and her band perform. Chantel's an alumni who used to use the Banbury Center. We had a number of students sort of testimonials about the impact of this place and their time here. We had had a video made, Jung Ah, who is a videographer and a student in cultural studies. She made a beautiful video that captures some of the activities that go on in this space. I gave a little pitch and showed off my new shoes, all of that sort of thing. And then there was a whole lot of mingling and just meeting and greeting, meeting new people and catching up with people I've known. And it was just everything we wanted it to be. There was cake, there was hors d'oeuvres, there was punch. So we're really looking forward to debriefing on it as staff and as our board of directors as well was very involved. So we are looking forward to congratulating ourselves and each other on how amazingly well it went.
So, yeah, and you also did the reveal of the results of the Who Is She campaign that you've been running all year. How is that?
So Who Is She? This was a reboot of a campaign we did about 10 years ago where we asked people to submit a tribute to an important woman in their life, an inspiring woman in their life. Many people chose a sister, a mother, a mentor, a teacher. Some chose a daughter. Just, you know, a little story about a woman who inspires you. And We had people ask people to make a donation and submit a tribute. So the tributes were printed up and displayed on this beautiful wall last night, in frames, each of the tributes. And we had some books created too that capture all the tributes in the books, along with some photos. And the tributes were on display last night. And as you mentioned, we are going to be mounting them all as a display in the house that will be up for a while, I think. Probably we hope to get it up sometime in early November, and we'll certainly make an announcement about it through social media and our newsletter, and people can come in and at their leisure read some of the tributes. It is just so inspiring to learn the stories of the amazing women who have nurtured and inspired and sparked all the things that happen in our lives. It's it was such a celebratory piece of the evening last night, was to have this wall that people could go and read all the stories.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel like there's kind of this surge of energy after celebrating an anniversary. What are you looking forward to this year?
Oh, wow. Well, surge of energy, yes, after we take a weekend to rest. We have a hiring in process right now. Lisa Webb, a longtime student advisor here, has decided to retire after over 22 years of providing exceptional student advising. I mean, anyone who knows Lisa is heartbroken that she's decided to retire, but also really glad for her because she deserves it for sure. So we're in the middle of a hiring process. We'll be interviewing for that next week. So I'm looking forward to getting a new person in, seeing what new blood, new ideas, new skills and interests bring to the place. We're looking forward to turning our attention. You know, for the last year, we've been doing all these events and programming oriented towards the 50th anniversary, and at the same time continuing with our daily free soup lunch and our student programming for, you know, academic supports and career supports and personal supports. But we really get to now dive back into student programming in a bigger way. We work really hard to ensure that the programming we're offering matches the needs and the interests of the students who are using the center in any given year. So we'll be engaging with the students, find out what's working and what's maybe missing for them. And we'll be working to create a really robust series of, events, programming, talks, parties, whatever feeds the soul and the spirit and the academic need for the students who come through here.
Once again, that was director of the Banbury Center, Susan Bellier, discussing the center's 50th anniversary year. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you to Christina Laurie for that story. Up next is Dinah Jansen reading a story from the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for YGK News, Owen Fullerton, about a controversial piece of legislation tabled by the provincial government.
Thank you, Jesse. The Ontario government has tabled Bill 212, a piece of legislation being referred to as the Reducing Gridlock, Saving You Time Act 2024. The bill has sparked some controversy by placing cyclists in the crosshairs, with some accusing the Ford government of political overreach as the bill would give the province the power to veto new bike lanes and even removing existing ones. The framework would also allow the provincial government to request information on existing bike lanes where an existing vehicle lane was removed, and that municipalities would have to prove new bike lanes won't negatively impact vehicular traffic. The news has so far been met with pushback from cyclists and active transportation proponents in communities throughout Ontario. Roger Healy, president of Kingston Coalition for Active Transportation, said he was in disbelief upon seeing the legislation that was tabled, but that it is quite obviously a way for the government to address hot-button issues with their suburban Toronto area base. While the right to veto or even remove bike lanes has been making headlines, it's only a small section of legislation that actually focuses more on accelerating the building of highways like Highway 413, which has been a controversial project because of its high cost and environmental impacts. Healy says based on the way the bill is packaged, he doesn't expect the Ford government to be very serious about clamping down on bike lanes. He says he thinks it's a way to disperse anger about the bill, as removing bike lanes wouldn't have a significant impact on easing traffic and would really be an expensive undertaking. Healy says bike lanes take up such a minuscule amount of road coverage in Toronto and other cities, and in fact, the government would be moving in the wrong direction by removing bike lanes as more cyclists would find themselves driving and adding to the congestion. In Kingston, he says during the closure of the LaSalle Causeway, many people avoided traffic jams entirely by biking across the Wabin Crossing. Ultimately, even if the legislation passes, Healy says he has a hard time seeing the government actively trying to crack down on bike lanes in cities like Kingston. If the Ford government was serious about reducing congestion for drivers in Toronto, Healy says improving alternative options like public transit would be the smarter route. Bill 212 is open for consultation until November 20th. And thank you to Owen Fullerton from YGK News for that story. Now over to Jesse Bell with an update on last week's story on COVID vaccine clinic closures here in Kingston, written by LJI reporter for The Kingstonist, Michelle Dory Forstel.
Thank you, Dinah. When COVID vaccinations were developed in early 2021, General Rick Hillier was appointed to lead the province's vaccination task force and sounded a, quote, call to arms to fight the virus. In Kingston, one of the people with boots on the ground in Hillier's operation, Dr. Elaine Ma, was instrumental in helping to launch the largest vaccination rollout in many generations, aiding in the organization of multiple drive-through mass vaccination clinics. Like General Hillier, she was hailed for her heroic efforts and received the Ontario College of Family Physicians Award of Excellence for 2021. However, in the eyes of the Ontario Health Insurance Plan, or OHIP, that apparently means very little. OHIP is now demanding that Dr. Ma repay the reimbursements she was issued. Ma revealed that she was now facing an OHIP Health Services Appeal and Review Board, and the provincial-run insurance plan was asking her to pay back $600,000 for the clinics she ran at the height of the pandemic. Ted Hsu, the Liberal MPP for Kingston and the Islands, brought the situation out into the open during question period in the Ontario Legislative Assembly on May 15, 2024. Hsu's concerns were addressed by then-House Leader and Minister of Long-Term Care, Paul Calandra, who assured Hsu that the provincial government would look into the matter. Yet months later, Dr. Ma finds herself facing the Health Services Appeal and Review Board hearing in Toronto with no intervention by the provincial government. Queen's Law Professor Eric Knutson explained that OHIP will likely cite the Health Insurance Act as justification for its actions. Knutson noted that OHIP follows a, quote, set schedule of benefits, but that actions in, quote, certain situations can be murky. And the pandemic was certainly murky. The provincial government prioritized the quick and widespread deployment of vaccines. It was for that reason that Dr. Ma began organizing mass vaccination clinics. Knutson pointed out that she organized, supervised, and ran the giant clinics, inoculating thousands even on holidays such as Boxing Day and New Year's Day, and that her team of healthcare professionals and medical students, including the Medical Officer of Health, took time away from their own families and homes during the holidays to care for the broader community. Knutson speculated that, 2.5 years later, OHIP reviewed the documents, saw the huge number of people being treated in such a short period of time, and decided that it did not fit within the rules. So according to Knutson, OHIP probably decided to, quote, claw back the payments issued to Dr. Ma because of the unprecedented nature of these mass clinics. Perry Brodkin, a private practice healthcare lawyer who used to work for OHIP, reasoned that any decision made in this case will be appealed no matter who comes out on top. Additionally, Brodkin noted that litigation, quote, may not be concluded until 2029, and as such, the current premier and health minister may not be around. Thank you to Michelle Dory Forestell from The Kingstonist for that story. Back to Dinah Jansen with a story from the local journalism initiative reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, Keith Dempsey, about the potential influx of municipal funding from Gananoque to the University Hospital's Kingston Foundation.
Thank you, Jesse. The town of Gananoque will consider having the municipal budget provide some capital support to the University Hospital's Kingston Foundation. This development comes as residents of the community shared their displeasure with the town after it voted against a motion that would have seen the town commit $75,000 annually to the foundation. That vote occurred at the town's last council meeting of 2023, where a funding request that was presented by the UHKF in November of last year was officially voted down 5-2, with Councillor Anne-Marie Coyner and Deputy Mayor Vicky Leakey voting in favour of the funding. Gananoque was the only area municipality that decided not to contribute annual funding to the Kingston hospitals. The UHKF is again making the ask to Gananoque as part of fundraising within Kingston and the surrounding areas for Kingston's hospitals, seeking donations from municipalities to purchase equipment and facility upgrades. Gananoque has donated $333,000 to Kingston Health Sciences Center since 2003 to support projects like the Cancer Center expansion, but hasn't previously committed to annual funding. In 2023, there were over 15,000 visits to KHSC from residents of Gananoque, according to statistics provided by UHKF, and since 2019, trips from the town to KHSC for cancer treatment have increased 30%. Kingston, Brockville, Belleville, Quinte, West, and almost every municipality in southeastern Ontario that has residents making use of Kingston's hospital services have agreed to contribute upon request from UHKF, except for Gananoque. And at that time, Mayor John Beddoes said that ultimately council wasn't comfortable passing on the extra costs to residents and that fundamentally it's the responsibility of the province to support the health needs of municipalities. Like many municipal leaders, Beddoes feels the province is pushing healthcare responsibilities to municipalities. But the Gananoque Council's tone appears to have changed. During a planning, information, and public input session at the Lou Jeffries Gananoque and Township of Leeds and Thousand Islands Recreation Center, residents displayed interest in the town making the annual donation to Kingston's hospitals and voiced their concerns with council previously voting against the funding request.
Thank you to Keith Dempsey from the Brockville Recorder and Times for that story. Over to Ted Evans, the local Journalism Initiative reporter for CJAI-FM, with a story about a special holiday pantomime coming to Odessa.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local Journalism Initiative reporter and news director at CJAI, Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca. Lennox and Addington will see its first ever holiday pantomime event this year in Odessa. Torrent Productions, a production company formerly based in Toronto that has recently relocated to Lennox and Addington, are preparing to host the event. Cinderella, a merry magical pantomime, will be running from December 19th to 24th at Emmanuel United Church in Odessa. Tickets are now on sale. Torrent Productions is run by husband and wife team Rob Torr and award-winning choreographer Stephanie Graham. They're hoping to make this an annual tradition for the community in Lennox and Addington. Co-artistic producer Rob Torr explains what pantomime is.
Pantomime is a wonderful medium because we have music, we hope, that satisfies all the different generations. Like there's vaudeville comedy, there's silly comedy, there's classic music, there's up-to-date music.
Wordplay.
It's all the things. There really is something for everybody.
Tor describes the company's history and his own personal connection to pantomime.
We're from Toronto. We moved out here about 3.5 years ago. And we've done 4 successful pantos downtown Toronto. And in a very sort of small town feel. We were doing it at the local Legion. And panto is my passion, and it was before we started them, but after producing them and seeing the magic that they created is why I want to continue doing it. Like we saw memories being formed, and that's what I want to do. I want families to be able to come to this and have memories and remember having a good time together. And silliness, like I always say, panto is not going to change the world, but it might make it a better place.
Co-artistic producer Stephanie Graham explains what they do at Torrent Productions.
We have 3 core mandate things about Torrent Production. Like we want to bring affordable professional theater to Southern Ontario. We are interested in developing new shows
and then encouraging and nurturing bridges between generations and the diverse demographics in our community. So those are our sort of three pillars. For right now, we're focusing on the Panto and building that, but who's to say what might happen more in the future?
The couple notes how the show could expand and what they may be working on in the future.
I've got three more shows written and ready to go. And our hope, like this year, we're scheduled to do eight shows, but we are able to extend.
If possible.
If we have enough, and that, again, that's all based on ticket sales. But I'd like to make this in the future. I'd like a 6-week run. I'd like people coming from all up and down the Seaway to come to Odessa, come to Lenox and Addington, come to our little part of the world, and enjoy, you know, all the things we have to offer here.
The couple note how the show is currently run and how they'd like to foster more local talent in the future.
We're asking Toronto-based actors to come out here for 4 weeks at the holidays. And you know, we have to pay them and we have to house them. But what I really would love to do is to be able to attract Kingston actors who've gone abroad and bring them back home so that they can be with their families
during the holidays.
But also so that we as a community can celebrate the talent that this community has helped create. We live in the area too, like we get it. And we would like to foster something, you know, something so that, and not just truly, not just the talent that's on the stage, but also
stage managers and technical.
And also teaching audiences how to enjoy live theater, because that's something that we don't do in this country. And pantomime is, it's like an entry level form of live theater, and because it's not children's theater, it's family entertainment.
The couple spoke about the long-standing tradition of pantomime in the UK.
My ultimate goal is to have a child that comes to see our show when they're, I don't know, 7 or 8, and then we probably don't see them when they're 15 or 16, but then they go away to university and they come back and they go, you know what, let's go to the Panto, and then they come back with their kids. Like that's the tradition in the UK. Like we didn't invent this format. It comes from a long tradition in the UK, and it's that thing that you do during the holidays. You go to a panto and you have some silliness.
Tor describes why he's so passionate about pantomime and is excited to bring it to Lenox and Addington.
There's a magic that happens between the actors and the audience, and that's something that, you know, as the director, writer, producer, that relationship is something that, you know, I nurture. But what we find with this style of theater is a magic that I don't have control over. And that's the moment when a parent and a child laugh at something together and then look at each other and notice that they're sharing that moment together. And that's the magic I'm interested in creating.
I think those are the special moments.
Those are the special moments that we hope, and we saw them every show. And it sort of become my raison d'être to nurture an opportunity for that to happen.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Next up is Jesse Bell with the CFRC Environment Canada weather forecast for the Kingston region.
Thank you, Dinah. This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. The warm and at times wet weather that began the week has faded away as we had a dry, chillier day today, Thursday, November 7th, daytime high of 13 degrees, dropping down to 4 overnight. Friday, November 8th, we will see a high of 10 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Temperatures will dip below zero overnight, dropping down to -1. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, November 9th, will be similar to the Friday. We'll see a mix of sun and cloud, but it'll be just a little colder at a daytime high of 9 degrees. Sunday, November 10th, we're going to see a potential high of 13 with a mix of sun and cloud. Monday, November 11th, Remembrance Day, it's looking like it's going to be a windy but unseasonably warm day with a daytime high of 15 degrees, but some pretty heavy wind blowing all day long. And Tuesday, November 12th, we're going to see a slight dip in temperatures, dropping down to a daytime high of 12 degrees, falling to 5 overnight. This concludes your Environment Canada weather report for the week. Jesse Bell signing off and throwing it over to CFRC 101.9 FM for the weekly concert and events calendar.
And now it's time for the CFRC concerts calendar for this week. Thursday, November 7th, Valley, Ren for short, will be performed at the Ale House and Canteen at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $27.50. Here, for original Thursdays, Shane Murphy will be performing rock and blues at the Cove Inn from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is $15. Head over to Hotel Wolf Island to experience Clear Breeze, a free jazz and bossa nova performance running from 6 to 8 p.m. Later that night at Hotel Wolf Island, Roam to Wolf Island by Ilaria Pilar Patasini will be starting at 8:30 and run till 10:30. Admission is $30. Friday, November 8th, Shania Twink, your new favorite queer cover band, will be performing at the Broom Factory for $25. The show runs from 7:30 to 10 p.m. From 8 to 11 p.m., Whiskey Smoke, a Divine Country duo, will perform at the club at the RCHA. Admission is $5. The God Damsels, an Edmonton all-country band, will be performing at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is $10. Don't miss Motown Soul live at the Grand Theater starting at 6 p.m. Admission is $69. Dave Wickerum will be playing on the largest theater pipe organ in Canada, the Kingston Theater Organ Society, at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $25 and $8 for students. Aruna Antonella Honda and Michael Broadhead will be performing at the Musiki Cafe from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Admission is $15. At the Royal Tavern 2.0, two concerts are planned for this Friday. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., come see Chrome Heart. Then from 9 p.m. to midnight, come see Soul to Squeeze. Admission is free for both concerts. Free for All Fridays with music by Guido will take over Stages Nightclub from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The show comes with admission. The Celtic Kitchen Party will play live at the Tiernan Og Irish Pub. Admission is free. The show runs from 9 p.m. to midnight. Saturday, November 9th, head down to the Broom Factory to see Susie Ungerleader, who will be performing at 1:30 p.m. Admission is $30. Later at the Broom Factory, starting at 7:30 and running till 10, John Muirhead, Julia Finnegan, and Taylor Adams will be performing. Admission is $20. Roderick and Bearso, featuring Quentin Cotrio, will be performing at the club at the RCHA. Admission is $5. Head over to the Cove Inn to catch the weekend specials, performing live from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Be sure to catch some local talent, Jennifer Ann and Paula Wood, performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Admission is $10. Take the ferry out to Hotel Wolf Island to see David James Allen and Brothers Gently for some country music from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. Admission is by donation. At 7:30 p.m., Radio Rush, the moving picture story, is coming to the Kingston Grand Theater. Admission is $59 to $69. Come to the Mansion to see Atria, Nature Pleads Revenge, Crown of Antlers, Intolerate, and the Manhattan Project from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Admission is $17 to $20. Reborn, Songs of War and Peace, live at the Spire. Admission is $12 to $35. Tone Cats will be performing from 9 p.m. to midnight for free at the Tiernan Og Irish Pub. Sunday, November 10th, Field Guide will be performing at the Broom Factory from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Admission is $24.88. Sundays with Eric and Megan returns at the Cove Inn from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Don't miss Sadaf Amini, hosted by members of the Gertrudes, who will be performing live at the Elm Cafe from 2 to 4 p.m. Admission is by donation. Come check out Deborah Sherman's and Bathwash perform a Sunday matinee at Hotel Wolf Island from 4 to 6 p.m. Admission is free. Megumi Misaki, an innovative multimedia performance, will be held at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 2:30 to 4:30. Admission is $15 to $40. Sit-down Sundays with Doc McLean and Jeff Dunn will be held live at Monty's Lounge starting at 6 p.m. Admission is $20. You won't want to miss Orchestra Kingston's performance of Amadeus live at the Spire at 2:30 p.m. Admission is $75. Have a concert you'd like listed on CFRC's website and announced on our airwaves? Reach out at our website contact page at cfrc.ca.
And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. This is absolutely frivolous. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to be here. So glad to be enjoying this wonderful, I don't know, fall day, I guess the best way to put it. I'm very excited. As you probably have known for a while, we've started our annual funding drive. Runs from November 1st to December 31st. Woohoo! Yes, I know. I know you love CFRC almost as much as I do. I don't know, perhaps. But if you want to donate to CFRC and show that love, please go to our website, cfrc.ca, and make a donation. It's a great little station. I cannot stress that enough. I talk about it every week as part of my show, how wonderful it is. And we're trying to raise, of course, a substantial amount of money because we've had a lot of expenses this year with having to change over the transmitter and get a bunch of things done here around the station. We are 101 almost. Oh, goodness, we're past that. We're 102 years old now. Oh, my gosh. So our annual funding drive will be to raise $25,000 this year to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. And you know what? You can make a difference by making a donation. Yeah, just go to cfrc.ca. You can either click on the word donate or type in /donate, and you'll get to the correct page. Thank you so much for your support in advance. We have different donation tiers and gifts for donors. If you make a donation of $10 to $25, you get a CFRC sticker, pen, pin, and a 3-song request on your favorite show, plus 1 raffle ticket for every $5 donated, up to 5 tickets. And we're going to have weekly raffles donated by our partners, like Agent 99, or Allaire Hair Studio, Atomica, Black Dog, Tavern, Brian's Record Option, Shaymare Spa, Diane's Fish Shack, The Grad Club. I mean, I could read these all, but honestly, you don't want to hear me go through them. They're all such wonderful places. Toucan, Tommy's, Studio 330, Tango, Long and McQuaid. Oh my gosh, KPP Concerts. Oh my gosh, yes. Please go and check out the donate page. Just read that. I mean, and go to all these places. And, you know, it's just wonderful that we are such a community and these places have been so kind to donate things to help encourage people to donate. And no pressure, but every little bit helps. If you're feeling generous, you want to donate $50 to $99. You get all of the things I mentioned, plus a tote bag, plus these cool CFRC coasters. And you'll get up to 20 tickets for the raffle, which is pretty cool. If you do 251 or over, you get all kinds of things that I just mentioned. You'll get coupons to Smokes, Poutinerie. You'll get playing cards. Oh, I have the playing cards. They're very cool. You get to choose between that, a toque or a t-shirt. And you get free tickets and a 1-hour guest spot for you and your pals to join us on air. Honestly, if you're going to, I will take anybody who wants to come on the air with me. If you're going to donate more than $251, honestly, if you want to come here and be on the air. Now, all I ask is you don't swear. That's the only thing. And your and maybe your topics are not off color, I guess, because people are making dinner right now and their kids are around. So you have to be mindful of that at this time slot. But if you want to come for sure, definitely make a donation more than $251. I will be so happy to have you host with me for it says 1 hour guest spot and I'm only a half hour show. So that would be 2 shows, really. I feel like I'm opening Pandora's box by putting this out here. So let's see if we can make it happen, though, everyone out there, because you're so kind. You're so generous. I know my audience and everyone who listens to CFRC are good, good people. And that being said, I'm going to segue into my first piece. So I have a few things of comedy. I have the Vestibules, Canadian comedy, sketch comedy troupe. We're going to play some National Lampoon Radio Hour stuff. A stand-up comedian, Julia, I don't know how to pronounce this, Hadkowitz. I'm going to say that. But we're going to start off with John Mulaney. And I've played this before in the show, and you know it. But in light of what happened on Tuesday, it's going to be the horse in a hospital stand-up comedy routine. So why don't we just listen to John Mulaney? He's so funny, and he's so honest and subtle and yet not subtle in the same way. Here he is on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I've never really cared about politics. I never talked about it much. But then, last November, the strangest thing happened. Now, I don't know if you've been following the news, but I've been keeping my ears open, and it seems like everyone, everywhere, is super mad about everything all the time. I try to stay a little optimistic, even though I will admit, things are getting pretty sticky. Here's how I try to look at it, and this is just me. This guy being the president, it's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. It's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. I think eventually everything's gonna be okay, but I have no idea what's gonna happen next. And neither do any of you, and neither do your parents, because there's a horse loose in the hospital. It's never happened before. No one knows what the horse is going to do next, least of all the horse. He's never been in a hospital before. He's as confused as you are. There's no experts. They try to find experts on the news. They're like, we're joined now by a man that once saw a bird in the airport. It's like, get out of here with that shit. We've all seen a bird in the airport. This is a horse loose in a hospital. When a horse is loose in a hospital, you gotta stay updated. So all day long, you walk around, oh, what'd the horse do? What'd the horse do? The updates, they're not always bad. Sometimes they're just odd. Be like, the horse used the elevator. I didn't know he knew how to do that. The creepiest days are when you don't hear from the horse at all. You're down in the operating room like, hey, has anyone, has anyone heard? Those are those quiet days when people are like, it looks like the horse has finally calmed down. And then 10 seconds later, the horse is like, I'm going to run towards the baby incubators and smash him with my hooves. I got nice hooves and a long tail. I'm a horse. And it's like, oh, that's what I thought you'd say, you dumb f***ing horse. And then you go to brunch with people and they're like, there shouldn't be a horse in the hospital. And it's like, we're well past that. And then other people are like, well, if there's going to be a horse in the hospital, I'm going to say the N-word on TV. And it's like, those don't match up at all. And then for a second, it seemed like maybe we could survive the horse. And then 5,000 miles away, a hippo was like, I have a nuclear bomb, and I'm gonna blow up the hospital. And before we could say anything, the horse was like, if you even f***ing look at the hospital, I will stomp you to death with my hooves. I dare you to do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it so I can stomp you with my hooves. I'm so f***ing crazy. And he's like, you think you're f***ing crazy? I'm a f***ing hippopotamus. I live in a f***ing lake of mud. I'm f***ing crazy. And all of us are like, okay, 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 okay. Like poor Andy Cohen at those goddamn reunions. Okay, 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 okay. And then for a second, we were like, maybe the horse catcher will catch the horse. And then the horse is like, I have fired the horse catcher. And we're like, he can do that? That shouldn't be allowed, no matter who the horse is. I don't remember that in Hamilton. Sometimes, if you make fun of the horse, people will get upset. these are the people that opened the door for the horse. And I don't judge anyone. But sometimes I ask people, I go, hey, how come you opened the door for the horse? And they go, well, the hospital was inefficient. Or sometimes they go, you know, if you're so mad at the horse, how come you weren't mad when the last guy did this 3.5 years ago? You're beating up on the horse for that when the last guy essentially did the same thing 5 years ago. It's like, first off, get out of here with your facts, okay? You're like the kid at the sleepover who after midnight is like, it's tomorrow now. Get the f*** out of here with your technicalities. Just because you're accurate does not mean you're interesting. That was fun when we watched Beetlejuice tonight. Don't you mean last night? It's after midnight. Hey, why don't you get your sleeping bag and get out of my house? Take your EpiPen. Take your goddamn EpiPen and get out of my house. But when people say, how come you were never mad at the last guy? I say, because I wasn't paying attention. I used to pay less attention before it was a horse. Also, I thought the last guy was pretty smart, and he seemed good at his job, and I'm lazy by nature. I'm lazy by nature, too, so I don't check up on people when they seem okay at their job. You may think that's an ignorant answer, but it's not. It's a great answer. If you left your baby with your mother tonight, you're not gonna race home and check the nanny cam. But if you leave your baby with Gary Busey...
CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at cfrc.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more. CFRC.ca was made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada and our amazing funding drive donors. Thank you so much.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea-treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
By rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to 6 feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you. yeah. Look around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room.
In the whole wide room.
And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you were definitely in the top three. Good-looking girls on the street.
Depending on the street.
And when I saw you at my mate's place, I thought, what is she doing? At my mate's place, how did Dave get a hottie like that to a party like his good one, Dave?
Ooh, you're a legend, Dave.
I asked Dave if he's gonna make a move on you. He's not sure. I say, Dave, do you mind if I do? He says he doesn't mind, but I can tell it kinda minds. But I'm gonna do it anyway. I see you standing all alone by the stereo. I dim the lights down to very low. Here we go. You're so beautiful.
Beautiful.
You could be a waitress. You're so beautiful.
Beautiful.
You could be air hostess in the 60s, you're so beautiful. Well, you could be a part-time model. And then I seal the deal, I do my moves, I do my dance moves. It's trouble too, just me and you, and seven other dudes around you on the dance floor. I draw you near, let's get out of here. Let's get in a cab, I'll buy you a kebab. And I can't believe that I'm sharing a kebab with the most beautiful girl I have ever seen with a kebab. Ooh. Why don't we leave? Let's go to my house. We could feel each other up on the couch. Oh no, I don't mind taking a slap. Oh no, oh, yeah. Cause you're so beautiful.
Like a tree.
Or a high class prostitute. You're so beautiful. You could be a part-time model. You could probably still have to keep your normal job.
Part-time model.
Spending part of your time modeling and part of your time next to me. My place is usually tidier than this.
I'm Trevor from the Arrogant Worms, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
I just got back from America. Woo! Fun things. I did, and it was a fun trip, sort of, because I got flagged at the border. Yay! Because U.S. Customs thought I was some big-shot Canadian comedian coming to America to steal all their sweet, sweet money. Which is not the case at all. I was going down to do, like, a free comedy festival to, like, work for free. But they didn't care. They took me to, like, the diddler room, like, for, like, the second investigation. Have you ever been there? It's terrifying. So I was there for 2 hours trying to convince this, like, enormous, terrifying customs guard that I was just a piece of shit, right? I was like, I am nobody. Like, I don't even have a driver's license. I can't even tell time. I cry a lot. But he didn't give a shit, right? He's just like, I don't understand why someone like you would come all the way to America to perform for free. And I'm like, you just don't get it, Dad. Like, it was like trying to describe stand-up comedy to my parents. Like, he just couldn't wrap his mind around it. And then this was the kicker. This is what he finally says to me. He's like, I don't know. Seems to me like you're one of the best things that Canada has to offer. What? I was like, thank you. That's amazing. I'm like, can I put that on my resume? Like, how awesome of a credit would that be? Like, best thing Canada has to offer, America. You know? The best. I kind of like that, like, they didn't let me into America, like, easily. Like, they didn't want me in there because it kind of gives me, like, some street cred, you know what I'm saying? Kind of makes me, like, edgy, right? Like, I'm so badass, right? So next time I'm performing in America, this is how I want to be brought up to the stage. Coming up next is a really funny comedian all the way from Canada. She's telling you the jokes that Barack Obama doesn't want you to hear. Yeah! That's me.
Hey, Kingston. It's Bahamas, and you're listening to CFRC.
Before the game.
Okay, coach.
Why, shut up, Chico.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you guys. We ain't had a serious talk since the beginning of the season, but I think it's... All right, look, I think it's time we had one now.
All right, coach, you tell us.
Well, shut up. I got something to say. Okay, now, some of this may sound stupid to some of you guys, but I want you to hear me out. Now, look, you know, different people think about life in different ways. Lawyers think life is a big courtroom. Doctors probably think life is like a big operation. Bus drivers think life is a big bus, I guess. Who knows what the hell those guys think.
You're right, Coach. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I always thought of life as a big football game.
So what's the point, Coach?
Yeah.
The point is this, Schnabel. There are winners and losers in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
God damn it, I asked you to listen, and by God, you're going to listen to what I got to say.
Okay.
Now, that's right. Winners and losers. But there's some guys who don't even get to finish the game. Maybe the coach takes them out, or maybe they injured. They don't even stay in the game long enough to feel like they won or lost.
Now, come on, what you talking about, Coach?
I'm talking about this, Stretch. There's a big coach somewhere in the universe, and he's about to cut the team.
What? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I mean, Stefanski, you got leukoplakia.
What? What's that?
It's a rare form of lung cancer.
Leukoplakia.
The doc says you might not last this season.
Oh, breaks. Yeah, sorry, really.
Really. Oh,
I suppose that one of us ought to say something, Coach, and as defensive captain.
Wait, that's not all. Luciano has Huntington's chorea.
What?
They're taking you to the hospital at halftime, Lucky.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Coach, listen, I'd like to say...
Hold it, there's more.
More?
Schaefer and Collins, you two have sickle cell anemia, highly advanced.
What?
I don't want to die.
I want those cells.
I want to play pro ball.
Townsend, Carlson, and McNulty, spinal meningitis. Harrison, Hawkins, and Sanchez, nephrosis. Hooker, Perez, Cavello, Pickett, and Friedman, you got encephalitis. Murray, Malucci, Boyle, Ryan, O'Clarity, muscular dystrophy.
Hey, my name's Will. I play in the Woolly Leaves, Constantines, and the Lifeless Souls. And you're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah, Bob.
I was watching Scooby-Doo the other day, and I was wondering...
Whoa, you were watching Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
What are you, 5?
No, I'm 37. If I was 5, I'd be much smaller.
Yeah, okay, anyway, you were watching Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, and I was wondering, how come they're still scared of monsters?
What? What do you mean?
Well, every time they go to a haunted house and they see a ghost or a monster or whatever, it always turns out to be an old guy wearing a mask.
Yeah?
Well, can't they see there's a pattern here? I mean, why are they still scared when they see monsters?
I don't know, because it's a dumb cartoon.
And why is Shaggy still with this group? I mean, he's obviously terrified of ghosts. Why doesn't he just stay home? And is it their job? Because if it is, who pays them? Or is it a hobby?
I don't know, all right? It's just a dumb cartoon.
Hey, Pete?
Yeah, Bob?
The episode I was watching happened to feature Scrappy-Doo Puppy.
Scrappy-Doo Puppy? Yeah, the little dog there. Oh, I hate that little dog. Oh, he's cute. Anyways, there's one thing about Scrappy-Doo I find confusing. Like, you see, for years, I thought Scooby-Doo was a pretty smart dog, you know? Like, I mean, he can even talk a little bit. He can go like, Ruby-Doo, or, hey, Reggie, which is pretty smart for a dog.
I can't believe I'm having this conversation.
And then, along comes his nephew, Scrappy-Doo Puppy, and he can speak, like, perfect English. He's like, hey, Scoob, let's get out of here. I mean, turns out Scooby-Doo's retarded or something.
I'll tell you who else is retarded.
It shattered my view of Scoob, you know?
Listen, forget about it, all right? It's just a dumb, stupid cartoon. You shouldn't watch it.
Nah, I'm not gonna watch it anymore.
Good, because it's too stupid?
No, it's too scary.
Hi, I'm David Miles. You're listening to CFRC in Kingston, Ontario.
Dawn, that dream I dream each night. You say you love me and you hold me tight, but when I awake, you're out of sight. Oh, darn that dream. Darn your lips and darn your eyes. They lift me high above the moon. Skies. Then I tumble out of paradise. Oh, dawn, that dream. Dawn, that one track mind of mine. It can't understand that you don't care, just to change the mood I'm in. I'd welcome a nice old nightmare. Darn that dream, and bless it too. Without that dream,